Welcome back to the JX. I'm Mike Green. On the morning of September 8, 2020, 4 years ago, the most devastating fire in Oregon's history ripped through Ashland, Talon, and Phoenix before firefighters were able to contain it. More than 2,600 structures, both residences and businesses, were consumed by the Alameda fire. Tens of thousands of people were displaced, most of them low-income people of color. It made national news. Even the New York Times produced a video timeline report on the fire, and you can view that video and more at jeffexchange.org. Along with unprecedented devastation in our region, the Alameda fire also brought communities together. In its wake, new organizations were born to help people recover. The resilience of the local residents continues today, as do recovery efforts. Joining the exchange are three guests to talk about the impact of the fire and the ongoing efforts to rebuild, reclaim, and revitalize local communities. Joining me on the phone is Darby Ayers Flood, Mayor of the City of Talent. Welcome to the exchange, Mayor.
Thank you, Mike. So happy to be here today.
Also joining by phone is Erica Ledesma, the Executive Director of Coalición Fortaleza. Welcome to the exchange, Erica. Do we have Erica? And here in the studio with me is Jesus Rios, the client liaison manager at Rogue Food Unites. Welcome to the exchange, Jesus.
Thanks for having us here and inviting us to the conversation.
So let's start with you, Mayor. Take us back to that tragic scene. What do you remember about the impact of the fire in Talent? And then what happened after?
Well, you know, I mean, it was a hot, windy day in early September, and there were red flag warnings for a couple of days ahead of time. And yet, I don't think anybody could have imagined what would unfold on that crisis level day. And so I got a phone call about 11 o'clock in the morning saying, hey, there's a fire coming up the Bear Creek Greenway towards Talent. And so I left work and came into the city, and, you know, the rest is history, as they say. It tore its way up through the greenway and then began to make its way west from the bike path through Talent, which burned up, you know, right up kind of the heart of our community along the Highway 99 there, and then just headed north up to Phoenix, burning home after home. We lost about 700 homes, 62 commercial buildings. It was just an extraordinary devastation, burned an entire third of our city and just displaced hundreds of people, and if not thousands. And so, you know, that was the day. And then immediately after the fire, leadership in our community started to assemble, really in partnership with the school district a lot, because the school district was really in touch with most of the fire survivors who were displaced and looking for emergency shelter. Many people were staying out at Jackson County, the expo center, but there were also people just, you know, I mean, literally there were people, some people in their cars in fields. And so trying to plan some transitional housing and sheltering really became our immediate focus after the fire.
So, Erica, I watched a haunting video on your site of the devastating impact of the fire. There's a link to it at jeffexchange.org. And your organization was established in the restorative efforts. Tell us a bit about the impact of the fire and how your work was born from it.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Darby, for recounting those events. The fire swept through, and, you know, the communities that were heavily impacted were low income, you know, people on fixed income, our seniors, the Latinx community, and community with mixed status. And so when the fire swept through, being born and raised in this valley, growing up in Phoenix and Talent, you know, the neighborhoods that were severely hit were neighborhoods that I grew up going, where I had relatives. And so we knew that our Latino and Spanish-speaking community were going to have a difficult time recovering because of the barriers to resources, especially with language accessibility. And so our organization, Coalición Fortaleza, really was seeded by elders and community a few months after the fire, when they were really brainstorming solutions on how they can recreate their neighborhoods. And that's with one of our elders, Don Leonzo, stood up and he's like, let's just buy our neighborhoods back, you know? And that's what really propelled us to look into what would it look like to rebuild some of these manufactured home parks as cooperatives, you know, as a resident-owned community or community land trust models. And so that's kind of where, you know, we were just volunteer-led at the moment, and it felt important to continue with this vision to really restore the manufactured home parks, because those were close-knit communities in, you know, the area that was burnt over. I think around like 18 manufactured home parks were destroyed. And right now, those are the ones that are having the hardest time in coming back and recovering from the fires.
Yeah, it's just amazing how people in the moment can come up with such novel ideas. Jesus, your organization sprung up out of a critical need, food. Talk about your organization and how it was formed and the work that you do today.
Yeah, so I'm just talking about how Rogue Food Unites was formed. You know, it came out of that devastating disaster, and there was, you know, the local founders here just saw the need for food as folks were living in transitional housing or were living, you know, in RV parks and just in sheltering. You know, Rogue Food Unites uses food to heal individuals and those communities in times of crisis by providing that comfort in the form of a meal that they can share with their family. So it started about 72 hours after the fires had started, and just coordinating with state officials and partnering with OREM, Oregon Resilience Emergency Management, to provide meals, not just locally, but also throughout the state. So it was an effort that was just kind of around the clock, and it took a lot of you know, not just with Rogue Food Unites, but partnering with other local organizations too, and to combine those efforts and meet the need.
Whose idea was it?
It was, so our current executive director, Amber, was a big part of getting the folks rallied up and making it possible to feed families.
I'm talking with a panel of three extraordinary local leaders about the work of resilience, rebuilding, and restoring in the aftermath of the Almeda fire. My guests are Talent Mayor Darby Ayers Flood, Erica Ledesma of Coalición Fortaleza, and Jesus Rios of Rogue Food Unites. So I have two questions, and you can choose one or the other. Mayor, we'll start with you. What do you know now that you wish you had known then, or what did you learn from the fire?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that is, that's an incredible question. And I guess what I would say, you know, not long after the fire, probably about 4 or 5 days after the fire, we were called to a meeting that a local pastor put together where he brought leaders up from Paradise, California, and gave us an opportunity to just kind of tap into their knowledge. You know, they had had a fire several years prior to the Almeda fire, and tap into their knowledge and experience. And one of the things that they told us that I just found it so hard to believe was that the recovery itself was going to take 10 years. And I just refused to believe it at the time. I just thought that just can't be. And, you know, California faced other challenges that we're not going to face. And looking back, you know, I'm glad I didn't believe it, because it really was motivating for us to just get started right away, work hard, keep our nose to the grindstone, and you know, work with the great organizations and organizations like the great organizations that you have here today, to try and affect a faster recovery. But the reality is, and I think we made a lot of headway in the first couple of years. We were constantly told, despite how it felt, we were constantly told that we were way ahead of the curve and in terms of our recovery and service to our community. But I think the reality is that before this is, you know, could be considered a full recovery, it'll be about 10 years. And I've learned that one of the critical pieces of information that came from that meeting from Paradise was, if you want to see your community rebuild and maintain some of those neighborhoods that Erica did such an amazing job describing, you need to get people back in the community. And so our main focus for the first 2 years probably was just to secure transitional housing in Talon. And that was incredibly challenging. But we did manage to develop a project in the heart of town called the Gateway Project, where the state donated 53 brand new RV trailers. And while it's not ideal living, it certainly brought community members who were out in like Immigrant Lake and Valley of the Rogue and, you know, still trying to bus into school, and brought families back into our community where they could walk to the grocery store, walk to school in many cases, or get on a bus and just travel a few minutes to school. So, you know, those were some of the lessons learned. I thought it was really valuable. I still think it's very valuable advice, is that, you know, trying to keep as much of your community intact. It's really the great work that Coalition Fortaleza is doing so well. And really, I do want to, you know, shout out also to Rogue Food Unites. The idea of bringing families back home is kind of a cold comfort if there isn't community that wraps their arms around them. And that's one of the things that Rogue Food Unites did such an incredible job. It really warmed up just the experience as much as possible. So, you know, with that group effort, we were able to get a lot of families back home, but there's still a lot of work to do. And thankfully, Coalition Fortaleza is got their shoulder to the wheel on that.
Well, 10 years does sound daunting, but sounds a bit realistic as well.
Right.
Erica, same question to you. What do you know now that you wish you had known then, or what did you learn from the fire?
I echo a little bit what Darby had mentioned. It's just, we're 4 years in and there's still so much work to be done, you know, and this is not a sprint, you know, it's a journey to build back better and more resilience so that our communities can really thrive. I feel like there's a lot of learning. I mean, I'm amazed of just like overnight how the community came together to provide aid, you know, mutual aid, and throughout Phoenix and Talon and other parts of our county. You know, it just really shows how strong we are and how resourceful we are, that we didn't wait for FEMA, we didn't wait for Red Cross, that we had the leadership, we had the resources to be able to support our community in that crisis, you know, and I think that's something that I have learned, is that we are fully capable in our community to rebuild. We have, you know, the infrastructure, we have the developers, like we have the landscapers, we have the construction workers, like we have all the local workforce to really rebuild our communities the way that we want them to look like. And, you know, that's what we've been slowly doing. It hasn't been perfect. There have been so many challenges. You know, there are still people that are being left out. And I know that we're still trying to advocate and ensure that no one is left behind in this recovery. You know, and the important thing is like bringing fire survivors, bringing those voices to the table to continue to engage. And you know, it hasn't, like I said, it hasn't been, it's been challenging, you know, and sometimes these spaces aren't accessible, but I think we've tried, to do a good job of trying to weave everything together, and that's all that we can do. So I think, yeah, the lessons learned are those, just that we have our local capacity, to bring in new ideas like in this recovery. And I think we are being really, we're just being, can't even think of the word right now.
Well, what I hear you say is that we have the people that we need in our community. We just need to work together.
Exactly.
Hear, hear.
Jesus, what do you know now that you wish you had known then, or what did you learn from the fire?
Yeah, thanks for the question. I think that Mayor Darby and Erica did an amazing job at kind of talking about a lot of the lessons learned. And while I wasn't working at Rogue Food Unites at the time of the disasters, you know, something that I think that, you know, yesterday was kind of, you know, with the fire starting over here in South Ashland.
I know, we got a scare.
Yeah, it was scary. And, you know, just grateful that the response to that was very quick and the communication was fast and it was able to get contained. But that was kind of scary. I was thinking about that. As I was driving back from our Eagle Point Market, Farmers Market, and just thinking like, wow. And then I have this interview tomorrow to talk about some of these things. But you know, I think the biggest things that as Darby and Erica mentioned is just like being prepared as a community and instilling resilience and making sure that our local community knows who to go to, and they're and as organizations that we're, you know, when we're out in the community, we're able to connect with these individuals and more so connect with like the important leaders of the community, right? And ensuring that, you know, there isn't as much of a language barrier, that we can communicate to folks of the community that we represent, right? So being able to provide information in Spanish to elderly Spanish folks that may not use email or text message or the internet or get on Facebook to find those communications. So I think it's just important to continue to build community and just prepare our communities for any disaster that may come. Because as we know, it's not going to stop. And but we just want to be prepared so that we can you know, just be well more.
So we can come together and work together more efficiently and more effectively.
Exactly.
It certainly gave us a greater appreciation of one another, not just the first responders, of which we are eternally grateful, but an appreciation of everyone in this community and to get to know one another. Mayor, let's come back to you. What is the most promising outcome that you've seen that you hope will continue?
You know, I want to answer that question, but before I do, I just want to add one more lesson learned, because I think this is critical to this conversation. You know, the thing about this particular fire is that it very uniquely, very succinctly carved out, you know, a lot of our lower income families. And as Erica mentioned, a lot of families with mixed status. And, you know, these are families that are our neighbors, that we send our children to school together, with that we barbecue together. I mean, they are people, our people. And, you know, recovery is just simply not equitable. And, you know, we saw beautiful, large houses spring up immediately after the fire for those folks who had insurance and who were well, you know, well-established to receive good recovery response, but not everybody had that experience. And and as Erica mentioned so well in her comments, there's still so much work to do, and most of the work that we have before us is still helping families that are not traditionally looked after in a recovery situation. So there's a lot of work to do getting our community recovered, but there's also a lot of work to do at the state level and at the federal level about, you know, how do we qualify people that deserve recovery and are invested in our communities in the same way as everybody else, in the same way of those folks who manage to just, you know, get recovery dollars immediately and found themselves in much better situations than most of the folks who were spit out of the recovery game as we're trying to, you know, qualify status and things like that. So, you know, we're all part of the community before the fire, but on the other side of the fire, the divide happens immediately, and we must do better. We're going to be facing this issue many times in the future. You know, this is our future. Creating resiliency is an important part of our future, and resiliency needs to be more equitable. So I wanted to mention that. Eric, I think, touched on it, and I just think that a finer point needs to be made. So to the question about what has come out of the fire that we want to see continue, I mean, I think I can't really add too much more than what, you know, my incredible colleagues have already said, and that is that, you know, we have the local capacity and we have the local imagination. And that was, you know, that was played out really quickly after the fire. And like Corlisa and Fortaleza and Rogue Food Unites, they saw, you know, our community saw where the gaps were and filled those gaps immediately by these two organizations and several others, and Rogue Action Center and Rogue Climate, and jumped in and did mutual aid right away. And, you know, there's just so much ability in our community that will rise with or without federal help, or with or without state help. Yeah, just knowing that and getting organized around that, I think, is what is going to make us more resilient moving forward. And I'm really gratified to say that these organizations are taking it upon themselves to do that, right? To get connected, to get networked, and to create their own ability and resiliency moving forward. So I really think that is one of the greatest things to come out of this fire.
In case you're just joining us, my guests are Talent Mayor Darby Ayers-Flood and Erica Ledesma of Coalición Fortaleza. Jesus Rios of Rogue Food Unites is joining me in the studio. Darby, you mentioned equity. Not everything is equitable in the recovery. I've heard it understood by CEOs and investors and homeowners that equity equals ownership. And so, Erica, your organization is focused on that. Talk more about that.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, we saw so many manufactured home parks, you know, people had a home ownership. That was something that they were able to attain, right? Even though it's not traditional, like a stick build, but people had a sense of home ownership. And, you know, that was all lost in the fire. Like, imagine all that equity that was destroyed within an hour. Everything that families had worked on for over 20 years. You know, after the fires, we surveyed 150 Latino farm worker community, and, you know, over 90% of them were homeowners that had been living in these manufactured home parks for, I think, between 16 to 25 years. And so that was their home. You know, if the fires hadn't swept through, they would still be living there. So you can just imagine, like, that loss. And so for us, like, it felt really important to restore that home ownership, restore that that wealth, you know, building for our community. One way is that we've been doing that is working with Casa of Oregon to restore and rebuild back Talent Mobile Estates, which is one of the manufactured home parks that was lost there in Talent on Arnos. And, you know, that's been such a successful project. It will be completed in a couple months, and it will restore homeownership for, I believe, like 74 families. And so we just, like, want to celebrate that. You know, it's not just going to come back as a traditional, you know, manufactured home park with a private landowner. Actually, it's going to be community owned, so people are going to have ownership over their home, and they're going to have ownership over the land, you know, and being able to pass down that to future generations. And so we're just really excited for that, you know. And I think people have been part of the process, you know. I think that's something that we've realized in this recovery that we need to do better, is include the most impacted part of the process, and they've had decision-making power. You know, they've been part of the community engagement. We've been having these hard conversations together. We've been trying to be more transparent. And it hasn't been easy, you know, but I think we're willing to hold those hard conversations in community and work together. And yeah, so that's something that, you know, we've been able to accomplish with the support of partners, the community, the city of Talent. And we hope that it can have a ripple effect, and it's already having a ripple effect. There's two manufactured home parks in Grants Pass that are being converted to resident-owned communities. So because they heard the story of Talent Mobile Estates. And so we're just, you know, we're happy to hear that. We want the momentum to keep, you know, being spread throughout our community, that we can imagine new solutions, new housing that works for our people, that gives wealth, that brings more home ownership, you know, back to the hands to the community.
So, Erica, what does your organization need now?
What do we need?
Yes. What do you need?
I mean, I think I think we've built such a beautiful community, a beautiful partnership. I think we need more capacity, of course, more volunteers, but I think we've only been around for maybe a little bit over 3 years now. So we're also being patient on our growth and being sure that it reflects the needs of the community, you know, so we're just moving, you know, at the speed of collaboration, at the speed of wellness, at the speed of people.
Okay. Well, Jesus, I'll pass that question on to you as well. What does your organization need now, and what do you envision in the future?
Oh, that's a great question. and I hope I'm able to answer it in a way that, let's see. I think what we need I'm just going to echo what Erica was saying, more volunteers. I think that Rogue Food Unites, we're continuing to build our team to respond effectively to any future disasters with feeding missions. I think that what we need is, definitely more capacity, more volunteers, and I think we've built the relationships locally in the community, but I think building the relationships all over the state and fostering those relationships is really important. Because Rogue Food Unites, we beyond the local Jackson County, we also have a partnership with Oregon Resilience Emergency Management in all 36 counties to provide disaster feeding in case a disaster comes. I think what we need currently is just to build relationships all over the state with emergency managers, folks that are going to bring people together and initiate that the recovery process.
So, Mayor, I'm going to give you an impossible task. We're running out of time, so you've got about 30 seconds. Give me your elevator speech. What is the vision for Talent?
Sustainability, resiliency, building back stronger. To us, that doesn't look like building back more expensive housing. It looks like building neighborhoods like the ones that Coalition Fortaleza is working on at Talent Mobile Estates, supporting organizations like them to make more resiliency in the neighborhoods so that our community is intact as we face challenges of the future.
Well, thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Erica. Thank you, Jesus. I appreciate all the work you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for today's JX segments. JeffExchange.org is our website where you can find these conversations and more. Or you can subscribe to our shows wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mike Green. Natalie Golay is our senior producer, and Zach Beagle is engineering our show today. Our theme music is composed by Maxwell and Terry Longshore. Thanks for joining us, and have a great day.